You're listening to the Valley Vegas Church Podcast. Valley Vegas is located at 4500 West Sahara Avenue in the heart of Las Vegas. For more information and to get connected with us, visit valleyvegas.org. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by today's message.
How are we doing tonight? Good to see you. Hello to you. Hello to you watching online. Good evening. Good to see everybody. This Saturday is Man Cave, and you're going to hear a great interview as I interview Tony Sanchez. Incredible story, and wear your team jerseys, as Pastor Russell said. Remember what I said, if you wear Raider jerseys, we got a pan of dry toast for you. If you wear Bronco jerseys, you go to the front of the line, you get all you want, okay? No, wear your jerseys, we're going to have a great time. And it'll be an excellent time, opportunity. This is Throwback Wednesday as far as jokes go, okay? Throwback Wednesday. This is an oldie. A blonde wanted to go ice fishing. And she'd seen many books on the subject, and finally, after getting all the necessary tools together, she made for the nearest frozen lake. And after positioning herself on a comfy stool, she started to cut a circular hole in the ice. And suddenly, from the sky, a voice boomed, "There are no fish under the ice." It startled the blonde, moved further down the ice and poured a thermos of cappuccino and began to cut another hole. And again, from the heavens, the voice bellowed, "There are no fish under the ice." Well, the blonde was now worried and moved farther to the opposite end of the ice and set up her stool and again tried to cut the hole. And the voice came once more, "There are no fish under the ice." And finally, she looked upward and said, "Is that you, Lord?" And the voice said, "No, it's the ice rink manager. There are no fish under the ice." Throwback Wednesday. Maybe throwaway Wednesday after that one. Well, we are in John 10 and continuing from 2 weeks ago where we left off in John 9 with a man who was restored his sight. And never happened before. And the man, very interesting story. The man didn't know who Jesus was and was amazed. And, of course, the Pharisees called him everything except a seen man, said, "You're lying, and this is a hoax, and what do you know, sinner? You're trying to tell us." And Jesus continues now, and he really begins to come after these guys for what they just did, I think. You got a crowd of people who are watching this. And these Pharisees, these religious leaders, they're supposed to be the leaders of the people as far as the religious thing. They're supposed to be the people that are introducing them to God, and they're doing the contrary. They're mixing up God. Judaism had become so weighed down with man-made regulations and burdens, and Jesus, I think, finally just said, "I've just about had enough of this." And is going to use a parable here to begin to address some things and in a sense call them out and also to clarify to his followers the difference between religion and Christianity. Do you realize that if you were to do a study, major religions of the world, Christianity would pop up? But really, Christianity is not a religion. And we'll talk more about that. It's not a religion. Verse 1. Chapter 10 of John. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them." Jesus uses this parable, this metaphor of sheep, because that would be so familiar to that culture. It would be as familiar to that culture as a coal mining parable and metaphor would be to those folks in West Virginia. It would be as familiar to them as it would be a logging illustration to those that live in the Northwest. It would be so easily understood to them about sheep as it would be to a Californian if you're going to talk about surfing, dude, bro. So it was woven within their culture. And so he uses something very simple, something well known to illustrate a truth here. And here's what he says. He says that these religious leaders who say that they are the gateway, that they're the door to know how to know God, he says they're actually robbers. And he uses that illustration of the sheep's gate. Now, I've got a picture of a sheep's gate. Go and throw it up there, Ruby. That's a picture of a sheep gate in the time of Jesus. Now, that would be a sheep gate nearest the city. Now, when they were out actually out in the hills farther away from the city, they would make just a quick little brush. They would get some sticks and brush and just make a temporary one that would just hold them for the night. And then they would tear it down in the morning and go on. This would be more of a community sheep gate or sheep pen. And that would be when they were pretty much close to city, you would have several, you know, four or five, maybe six shepherds that would put all of their sheep there in that place. And then they would go home and be able to sleep at night. And then obviously as they had to go farther away, they would take the sheep and make those temporary barriers. And so you have there that sheep gate, about 6 or 7 feet high, those walls. And it was a common practice to have a thievery, sheep thieves, sheep rustlers that would come in the middle of the night. And it was a two-man operation. And one guy would get on top of the shoulders of the other guy, and they'd reach over and slit a couple throats of the sheep and throw them over there, and they would run off with four or five sheep. And so that's the illustration that Jesus is drawing upon here, those thieves who would steal the sheep. And he says that anyone who tries to get the sheep in that way are thieves and robbers. Now, Jesus says, I'm the door of the sheep. But he also says, I'm the shepherd of the sheep. How can he be a shepherd and a door? Is he getting confused here? No, he's one and the same. He's the shepherd that leads the sheep during the day, but he's also the one who protects him by night. And you might notice that on this sheep gate, pretty accurate representation is that there's no door, right? They're just a little opening that you go through. And who becomes the door to guard at night? The shepherd. And literally what he would do is he would lay there. That's where he would sleep. He would sleep right there at that entrance. And that way no sheep could get out and no strangers could get in. And that's the picture there when he's talking, I'm the shepherd, but I'm also the door. It says there that his sheep know his name. They won't follow a stranger. In fact, when a stranger comes, they'll say, wait a second. Looks kind of like a shepherd. Might even kind of look like my shepherd, but let me. No, it's not even. Something's fishy here. In fact, they'll get kind of spooked and run away. I heard a story of a Scotch traveler who was over in the Jerusalem area. And he was a shepherd. And he said, let's have fun, Jerusalem sheep herder. Let's exchange clothes. Let's trade clothes. And so he put on the Jerusalem shepherd's clothes and got out there and began to call the sheep thinking, well, I have the same clothes on. They'll come over. And the sheep looked at him and kind of put their head down, kind of to back away a little bit. And then you had the Jerusalem shepherd. Although he had different clothes, he began to call out with his distinct call. All of a sudden, they perked up and went over. Why? Because the sheep don't follow the clothes on the exterior. They're listening for the voice. See, that's important for you and I. That's why we're constantly hammering you here in a good way. We're hammering you, get into the Word. Get into the Word. Learn to hear the voice of the Spirit. Learn when it's Jesus talking versus the devil talking. Because sometimes things can look really slick on the outside. Boy, this this person talking here, they're using words like God and heaven and hell, and it kind of looks good on the outside, but Mara listened to it and said, wait a second, I don't hear the Lord's voice in that sermon. I don't hear the Lord's voice in that teaching. Something's wrong here. And if you start having some of your feelers go back away, say, wait a second, I smell a skunk here. That's discerning. I found this cool video that is going to illustrate what I'm talking about on these sheep. And in this video, you're going to have some travelers over there, and I don't know where it's at. I'm assuming it's over in Europe. I think the shepherd seemed like he's Norwegian or somewhere, but these folks are trying to call the sheep, and they don't respond, and then the shepherd gets out there. And to prove that point, take a peek. It's really cool.
One more time.
Oh, one.
That was good.
Look at them, look at them.
They are coming. Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't believe this. Oh my God. This is amazing. Oh my God. This is amazing.
One more. This scared them.
Yeah, Eunice made him go away.
Oh my God.
Was that cool or what? You will never have the same again.
My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Isn't that cool? Love that. He calls them by name, he said. I guess these shepherds actually name, I don't know how many they have, but they actually name, and it's been said that some of these sheep actually will respond to their name. You could have a bunch of them there, and you call out a certain name, and they'll come to you. I do know this, that in the book of Revelation, it says that we're going to be given a white stone. And on that white stone, there's going to be written a name for us that no one knows except the Lord. And he's going to give us that stone with our name on there. Mysterious. I don't know what that is all about. I don't know what it means. But you have a new name, I'm assuming. Coming forth. Maybe it's our name that will go in heaven. And so if you don't like your name now, don't worry. When you go to heaven, you'll get a new one, okay? Verse 7, so Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now, he's not talking about Moses, he's not talking about Elijah, he's not talking about Abraham, all those who came before Jesus. He's talking about the religious leaders who claim that they are the authority. They are the ones that have the knowledge on how to get to know God. He says, hey, they're thieves and they're robbers. I'm the door, verse 9. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and he'll go in and out and find food. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. The thief, who's he talking about here? Is he talking about Satan? Indirectly, yes, but more precisely, he's talking about religion. He's talking about false ways on how to get to God, any way other than Christ. Let me point out the difference before. I made a statement at the beginning of my message that most people would lump Christianity in world religions, but that's really not technically accurate. Because religion is this. Let's say that I was a good artist, which I'm not, and I was able to draw up on the screen a big circle that would signify Earth. And in that circle, I would have to draw a stick guy. But if I could draw a man on that circle representing Earth with his arms outstretched, reaching up. In fact, maybe I would even have him on his tippy toes, reaching up, extending as far as his hands would extend up with a look on his face of just strain and trying to get up there with all his might, trying to reach up to the heavens. That is a picture of religion. It's man's attempt to reach God and yet not being able to do so through works, through ritual, through liturgical things, through sacrifices, through you know, comparison. Hey, you know what? I'm not as bad as this person, so that means, you know, I'm going to heaven because this person, I'm better. That would be the picture of religion. Now, if I was to draw a circle to represent Christianity, I would draw a diagram. I would draw that same circle, but what I would have this time, instead of a man reaching up, I'd have a pair of hands reaching out of heaven down to that man there, reaching down, and that man receiving it with a look of satisfaction and relief on his face. And that's what the difference is. Christianity is God reaching down to man and giving a gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, I love this, puts it into scriptural terms. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. We can't save ourselves. Not as a result of works, so that no one will boast. It's a gift. It's just receiving those hands reached down. We say, okay, I accept that. I receive that. I receive forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And that's how you're saved. And that's the difference between religion and Christianity. But the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Sin. We've talked about this before. What makes sin so tempting is that it's pleasurable. And if anybody tells you that sin's not pleasurable, they're not being honest with you. Because sin is pleasurable. Sexual sin is pleasurable. Getting high, getting drunk has some pleasure attached to it. Stealing, you know, has some pleasure to it. Say, oh my gosh, look at all this money I didn't have before, and now I have it. It has some pleasure to it. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, it describes sin as the passing pleasures of sin. The passing pleasures. That the word passing is related to the seasons of weather. And we know, well, not here in Vegas, we don't know, because it's either hot or not hot, not so hot. But when I was in Colorado, living there for 11 years, you did have the four seasons there. And you knew that come the fall, when it was nice outside and it was 70 degrees during the day, you knew that, hey, don't let this get you fooled. Make sure you get your wipers taken care of. If you got snow tires, put those snow tires on. Get your little scraper that you scrape your windshield when it snows, and your little brush, and get your heater ready to go. Why? Because this season is passing, and you know what's coming up ahead. Winter's coming, so you prepare for it. And sin also has a season to it. It has that pleasurable season. Oh, my gosh. This is awesome. But what people don't realize, what they don't take into consideration, is that that season of pleasure is going to pass into pain, into guilt, into remorse, into reaping the consequences of what that sin brings. And they think that the little season of pleasure they have is going to last forever. And that's as foolish as thinking that, you know, it's going to be 70 degrees all the time, unless you're in San Diego. But we know it's not going to happen here, and it's not going to happen in Colorado. It's going to get cold. It's going to get hot. One's going to pass the other. And see, the difference between a mature Christian and an immature Christian is the immature Christian thinks, hey, I can get away with this, and it's so pleasurable. And they don't think ahead. And all of a sudden, they a couple of weeks from down the line, say, oh my gosh, the cows have come home. This act that I had a little bit of pleasure, now I'm reaping a longer season of pain because of this. I love this. I came across this today. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, in the New King James Version, I like how it reads. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong one, guys. It's 1 Chronicles 4:10, if you get a chance. I probably wrote Corinthians instead of Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 4:10. These guys are fast back there. Ruby will nail it here in a second. Maybe I have it. I actually got it here. It's you probably heard there it is. Thank you. The prayer of Jabez, you might have heard there was a book that came out on it. He says, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. Actually, the New King James puts it this way. If you, that your hard work would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. That I may not cause pain. Pain to who? Pain to you. Pain to others. See, when that season of pleasure is over after sin, now the pain comes. Right? Now the pain comes. And now you've got to deal with that season. And unfortunately, that season sometimes can last quite a while. And so the thief comes and steal, kill, and destroy. And so as a maturing Christian, I hope we're getting to the point that when we're tempted to say, okay, yeah, I could do this. Would it be pleasurable? You bet it would be. Will I enjoy it? Probably will. But I also know that as soon as I'm done enjoying it, I know what's going to happen next. Now I'm going to feel guilty. Now I'm going to feel convicted. Now I'm going to, now I got to lie to cover my tracks. And a mature Christian thinks through those things. And they say, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I'm tired of going around the same mountain. It's not worth it anymore. And they think ahead. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He was a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The majority of the time, it would either be a shepherd who would actually lay in that doorway and become the door, or the shepherd's son. But occasionally, they would hire a hireling. And the hireling says, hey, I don't really have a vested interest in this thing. These aren't my sheep. I'm just getting paid by the hour. The wolf comes, I'm not going to die over, you know, somebody else's sheep, and they would just go. And Jesus says that's how it is with false religion. That's how it is with false leaders. See, Jesus, oh my, he had to be so angry inside, but he restrained himself. That the previous story, this man was born blind, healed, and given the guy a hard time, kicked his parents out of the synagogue, kicked this guy out of the synagogue. Guys, what did I do? I just got healed. What did I do wrong? What did his parents do wrong? And Jesus had to be so upset. See, religion, it puts these demands on you. Do this. Be this. Perform this. You've seen people positioned on the street corners, right? You've seen them riding around on bikes, and you see them doing all the stuff that they do. And it puts all these demands on them, and religion doesn't offer any assistance. Live this way. Do this thing. And the person says, okay, I'm trying, but I can't. Don't do this. I don't want to, but what does Paul say? Well, the very thing I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Don't do this stuff. Religion says, but I'm not going to give you a hand at all. But don't do it. Whereas Christianity is different. God says, hey, you know what? I'm going to come inside of you, and I'm going to do for you what you can't do for yourself, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. I'm not going to ask you to do something that I'm not going to give you the power to do. And what a huge difference it is. What a huge difference. He flees because he is hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own know me. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Who killed Jesus? The Jews? The Romans? Pontius Pilate? His followers, when they didn't stand up for him? Who killed Jesus? Well, the answer is nobody killed Jesus. Jesus really couldn't be killed. Remember the story, whenever all through the story, my time hasn't come yet. They came to arrest him. All of a sudden, he kind of went through the crowd. At his arrest, they actually came, and all of a sudden came up there, and Jesus said something. The guys, boom, fell flat. They couldn't kill Jesus. Who killed Jesus? No one. Jesus wasn't killed. Jesus gave his life. He gave it. Remember those words on the cross? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I commit my spirit. And he committed himself to death. And then not only did he have the power to, the authority from God to commit himself to death, but he also had that same power to raise himself back from the dead. And that's what happened 3 days later. Raise himself. Nobody's taken my life. I lay it down. I'm going to go back to that and end with this. I have other sheep, verse 16, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Gentiles. Remember, this is a Jewish setting, Jewish people he's talking to. He goes, I got sheep in other folds. There's Gentiles out there, non-Jewish people. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. I got them, and they're in other flocks, but I'm going to bring them into one sheep gate here. I love what it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. All one. All one. Sheep, but all one. Take a look at this. I got a picture of some different looking sheep up there. I'm going to ask for some help from you tonight, congregation. Ty, would you come on up here? Pastor Jerry, come on up here if you would. Evangeline, if you'll come on up. Derek, Christina, come on up. Charles, come on up. I'm sorry, the couple behind Mark, I forget. You guys come on up if you would. Yes, come on up if you would. Ma'am, would you come up? You in the middle there? Yes. Would you come up, ma'am? Yes. Logan. See a similarity? I think the sheep on the screen look a bit better than these. No, I'm just kidding. Isn't that a great picture, though? And a great picture. I tried to study it out. I don't know if the sheep behave differently because of their colors. I'm sure that the guys are ornerier than the gals. That's pretty much the case. But we have to understand this, that we can be different as far as the external things, the color, the gender, the background, the nationality, all those things are even kind of how we interpret scripture. There are some things that are the majors you just can't vary from. But there's a lot of room for interpretation, and you can be a different sheep. What we don't want to have is a couple billy goats that are just butting their heads all the time over something that doesn't really matter. Because this is the sheepfold. That's what God always intended. The Jews were never supposed to be just one flock. They were supposed to be, and Isaiah says, they were supposed to be a light unto the Gentiles. God was going to show himself to this Jewish nation, and the Jewish nation was to go out among the Gentiles, among the world, and let their light shine for God. So other people say, I want your God. I want what you have. But they became prideful. We're God's chosen people. You're not Gentiles. And they got prideful instead of saying, hey, we got a responsibility. God's been good to us. We didn't deserve this thing, so we got a responsibility to be light. Instead, they became arrogant and prideful, thought they had the market on God, and they didn't. Because this is what God always intended up here. He wanted us all to come together. You can retain your distinctives, and we should retain our distinctives. How many of you here tonight like country music? I got my hand raised. I love country music. How many of you here like rap? How many of you here like hard rock? You're a headbanger. Some of you are raising your hand the whole time. You like music. I do too. I like old school rap. Yeah. See? How many of you like sports here? How many of you get so sick of me talking about the Broncos and fine. That's good. I get it. I'm not going to stop, but I get it. We can be different. But guess what? We're in the same sheepscape. We're in the same pen with each other. We're in the same pen. We got the same shepherd. The same shepherd. All right, thank you, sheep. Okay, let's pray. Father, Lord, it wouldn't really matter, Lord, if we had just a church full of sheep of one color or of one gender or one marital status. It wouldn't matter. It's the church. But I'm thankful personally that we have a lot of different colored sheep here. That's my style. I like that. So I'm thankful to be a pastor of that kind of church and have that kind of sheep in it, Lord. Oh, Father, help us to continue to hear your voice. Help us to know, God, that whenever you're calling us, God, that you lead us by still waters. You lead us to green pastures. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort us. They protect us. You'll never lead us into danger. We can trust your word. When you say to go somewhere, we can trust you. When you say don't go somewhere, we can trust you. You're the good shepherd. Help that build our faith tonight. God, some of us are being called into unfamiliar places. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, oh my goodness, let him lead you. You'll never regret it. He's a loving shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He knows much more how to make you happy than you know how to make yourself happy. He knows much more how to lead you than you know how to lead yourself. But he's a gentle shepherd. He's a gentle shepherd. He won't kick you into the sheep's pen. He'll invite you in. He wants to lead you, but he won't pull you. But if you're here tonight and you want to follow Jesus, you want to give your life to him, you want to become one of his sheep, I'm going to ask you just very simply, raise your hand. I'll say a prayer over you. You can receive Christ tonight. He can become your shepherd. You can begin to follow him. Anybody here want to get saved tonight? You want to give your life to Christ tonight? You want to begin to follow God tonight? Anybody need to have that done? Maybe everybody has it done. Good chance on Wednesday. Maybe everybody's good with the Lord. Okay, Father. Thank you, God, for that, Lord. Oh, Father, help us to be what you always intend your people to be, the light of the world, God. Let our light shine, Lord, the rest of this week, God. As we go out, let it shine. Let us say some things when we're to say something. Let us witness when we're to say something. Let us love when we're to love. Let us give when we're to give, Father. Let us be your feet this week. And we pray those things in the name of your son, Jesus, Lord. Amen. Amen. Need prayer? Come on up. Let these folks pray with you.